Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Bill Turner, from the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
Okay, so you're sitting here listening to this program today and you're wondering, what on earth could you be talking about the Coast Guard? You know, there's no water around here. When last we checked, the ocean's like 200 miles away. The biggest Great Lakes is up near Chicago. The Gulf of Mexico is several thousand miles south of us. So what on earth could the Coast Guard be doing here in Bedford County? Well, I'm going to tell you, our guest is Bill Turner, and he is the vice commander of the local Coast Guard Auxiliary here. And yes, believe it or not, they have people from Bedford, and I guess, Bill, from Blair County and Huntington County and all over the place. So anyway, welcome. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to us. It's really great to have you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This is an opportunity for us in U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary to kind of tell our story, so I'm happy to be here.
I think I'm going to start in the beginning here. Everyone knows what the Coast Guard is. When I was a kid, I used to watch this television show. Or no, actually, it was a movie short. Little shorts that played between the movies, but they later played them on the television. And I think it was called Captain Winslow. And I thought, this guy is really cool. He was a hero, and he was a Coast Guard captain, and he went out and caught all kinds of people, like communist spies, you know, and drug runners and things. And so this guy came across as kind of a Coast Guard James Bond. And so I thought, I can't wait to talk to you about the Coast Guard. Tell me a little bit about the history of the Coast Guard. It is actually one of the oldest services in the United States, is it not?
That is correct. We very recently celebrated our 227th birthday.
Boy.
So we're 220, the United States Coast Guard is 227 years old. It became a kind of an amalgamation or a jointure of the life-saving service, you know, the surf boatmen that would, and they were very often just state-funded, you know, North Carolina, the guys that would row the boats out trying to get the stranded ships or the ships running aground. The lighthouse service, you know, the lighthouse keepers, and then
The revenue guys.
The revenue cutter service. Yeah. So all three of those kind of came together and become the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. But the revenue cutter service was pretty much the founding organization. And again, they were armed. You know, of course, that was the days of sailing ships. But those were armed generally fast ships, because you have to run down the drug, or the, not the drug runners at that time, but the smugglers who weren't paying their taxes.
Well, a little research I was doing in this program, and before I started looking at this, Bill, I had no idea. When I was in the Navy, we used to call them horrible things like shallow water sailors and things like that. But I later learned that the Coast Guard was invented, and you can correct me on this because you're the expert, to protect the commerce of the country, and they were operated by the Secretary of Commerce for many years, were they not?
That is correct, yes. United States Coast Guard's kind of been bounced around a bit. They were part of the Treasury Department for a while, mm-hmm. under the Treasury Department, I should right. say. Then part of then transferred to Department of Transportation. And then, of course, after 9/11, we got shifted over to Department of Homeland Security. So right. we're now under the auspices of Department of Homeland Security. In time of war, both First World War, Second World War, we get folded into the Navy. And also have been in Vietnam. U.S. Coast Guard has served in every major engagement, naval engagement, that we've had.
It's probably one of the more broad-based services. Our guest is Bill Turner. He is the Vice Commander of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary here in Bedford County, in several counties. I'm going to get to him to explain his role a little bit later on. So that's the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard has been serving the country for 227 years through these variety of roles. And, of course, most recently they have been trying to stamp down the drug trade and anything else that would inhibit or injure our commerce in the country. So now comes the Coast Guard Auxiliary, which is a civilian outfit, sort of. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, let me give you a quick history on that. You go back to about June 1939, and Second World War is on the horizon, and things are not going well. Manpower is at an extreme shortage, and we've got German submarines, within sight of our coast, and things are not going well. We need more manpower, and somebody got the bright idea. There's a lot of older guys around. They're too old for active military service, and they've got these wooden boats, and they're capable seamen because they go out fishing every day or recreational sailing. Wonder if we can use them. And so they take the Coast Guard Reserve and Coast Guard Auxiliary, kind of unite them together, hand out some uniforms, and I think about 145 pistol per boat, and send Coast Guard auxiliarists out, right. and are pretty much a neighborhood watch, if you will, right. of the seas, and they're looking for periscopes and mines. Pretty much that was it. You see one, you radio it in, and the active guys come after it. Right. But there were some cases where regular Coast Guard auxiliary people tried to interdict German submarines as well. So that's how we kind of got the auxiliary started. So comes into the Second World War, you've got this whole organization, well trained, funded, uniformed, and ready to follow orders, but there's no longer really a legitimate, that need is gone. Yeah. So I believe it was President Eisenhower says, we're going to retask them for recreational boating safety. That's been the auxiliary's mission since the end of the Second World War. So taking care of the recreational boater is our primary mission at this point.
So under that role, you not only help people with safety, but you actually teach them how to operate their boat. Some of these boats aren't really boats anymore. They've become small ships. I know a fellow that went through your training in Philadelphia that his yacht was, I think, just north of 70 feet long. And he went through the course. And I thought, well, I'm really glad you didn't get out there in a 70-foot yacht thinking you were Captain Nemo. So do you still do that kind of thing as well?
Yes, we do. And you pointed out quite correctly, we're a long way from the coast. So yeah. Why am I in the middle of Pennsylvania and a member of Coast Guard Auxiliary? Well, okay, we expanded. We exist here at the pleasure and the behest of Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. What what government agency doesn't feel like they're already understaffed and underfunded? I guess that's a common thread. So they're happy to have us work for them. Now, we do not do direct law enforcement, but the bread and butter of our day's work is teaching boating safety classes, government, so that we like to say that we're saving money and lives at the same time. If we can keep you from getting a $200 ticket, you're happy. Yeah. And if we can keep you from getting hurt or your family members from getting hurt, everybody's happy. So we do that. We do vessel safety checks, which are complimentary. We do those. They take 5-10 minutes usually. And it's just a way to check to see that everything the law requires is on your boat and it's working.
What are you checking for? What kind of things do you look for?
Well, probably the first thing we do is check the documentation. You know, it basically, let me see your owner's card. Does it match the numbers on the back of the
really
boat?
Is it really your boat?
Yeah, is it? Well, is it registered? Is it titled properly?
So
that
boats
kind of
have
thing.
To be registered like cars?
Some, yes. Mm-hmm. Not all. Okay. Some. Have to be registered, and there's that gets a little complicated, but yeah, almost all powerboats would be registered.
Okay.
Yes, we look for probably the next thing we want to know is let's see life jackets, and it gives us a chance to school the owner about what's required, because the whole issue of life jackets is yes there has to be one for every guy, but it has to fit, it has to be in working condition. And just yesterday I asked a guy, I said, hey, do you tow any of your grandchildren on tubes or water ski? And he said, well, yeah, once in a while. I said, well, you've got a very nice fast boat here, and I know you're probably only going to tow them 10 or 15 miles an hour, because that's all the faster they want to go, but that life jacket that your grandchild wears must be impact rated for the maximum speed of the boat. So how fast does this boat go? And I said, it's probably going to do better than 40 miles an hour. Therefore, that life jacket better say it's rated for a 50-mile-an-hour impact.
You know,
so it gives us times for that.
The best line I ever heard about a life jacket was a Coast Guard guy told me once. He said, if you get hit in the head, you won't be able to put on your life jacket. And I thought, you know, that really is the picture, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why should I wear it? You know, I'll be able to put it on.
Yeah, but I can swim. I'll get it when after we roll off the boat. Yeah, maybe. But they're hard to put on in the water. If you're in water even if you're a pretty competent swimmer and someone throws you a life jacket, I've watched this be done. It's difficult. You probably should save your energy and just hug the thing. But all these little straps and the armholes and all that kind of stuff, it's difficult. It wants to float and you want to go down. So it is difficult to do that. So, yeah, there's no... It's almost impossible to drown wearing a life jacket.
Really?
Yeah, almost impossible. I'm not, it can happen. It rarely happens. We teach something called 110-1 rule. If you fall off a boat, go overboard in cold water, your first reflex is to gasp, that suck in of air because it's so cold, the water. That'll pass in 1 minute. If you can keep your wits about you to keep, it'll pretty much in about 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
You've got another 10 minutes that your arms and legs will move. So as a swimmer, hopefully somebody's going to come around and pick you up if you just fell overboard, or maybe you will be able to climb on top of the boat if it's upside down. But if you don't make it in that next 10 minutes, you've lost your arms and legs in cold water.
So
you don't get the last one. The last one is 1 hour. You won't get it without a life jacket. You'll survive alive for one more hour in cold water with a life jacket on. But if it's not on, it's over.
It's going to be less.
Yeah.
Wow. We are going to return. And when we do, I'm going to ask Bill... some more about this specific life-saving techniques, because it's very germane. If you want to go up to Lake Raystown Lake and play around the water, that water is plenty deep enough for you to get in trouble. And Bill's going to tell you about that when Bedford County Speaks continues.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. When I was a kid, every Sunday evening, Dinah Shore sang that song. Being part of a Chevy family since 1939, I thought it was pretty special. Now that the weather has become Bedford beautiful again, why not stop by and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet? Right now, we have a great opportunity with a beautiful 2017 Malibu. All of them have the latest technology, comfort, and power to make driving fun again. At Thomas Chevrolet, you can drive away in one of these terrific Malibus at value pricing in the low 20s. When you get a great price, great trade-in, and our legendary service, that's called earning your complete satisfaction. That's what we do here every day. Come and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet right now. If you visit us this week, you'll find your 2017 Malibu in our showroom. And while you're here, we'll show you what complete satisfaction really is.
That's Thomas Chevrolet, where we guarantee your complete satisfaction every day.
This is Sharon McNamara of Bedford County Drug and Alcohol Prevention Partnership, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Our guest today is Bill Turner, who is the Vice Commander of the Coast Guard Auxiliary here in Bedford County and elsewhere. Bill, we were talking about how we were some distance for some large bodies of salt water. So I had to ask you, what kind of water do you deal in and where is it?
The vast majority of our on-the-water time is Lake Raystown. That's our AOR, our Area of Operational Responsibility. Our flotilla, that's pretty much it. Glendale Lake, up at Prince Galitzin State Park, additionally, in a kind of a technical manner of speaking, so Shawnee Lake just to our west here, but we're limited in manpower, so we don't get around to those places as much as we should. So the vast majority is Lake Raystown.
So if I'm rowing my canoe in Shawnee Park, I'm probably not going to be seeing too many Coast Guard Auxiliary guys. But if I go to Raystown in a motorboat, I probably will. So you are the Vice Commander, and you obviously have been doing this a long time. I've seen you in uniform. I see you have commander's rank. So are you with the head poobah guy there, or are there other people? Or
this year I am not. I have served two different terms. These are division commander, division vice commander, flotilla vice commander are elected offices, even though they do show rank. But they're elected for 1 and more often 2 years each. I've served 4 years in two different divisions as a division commander and also two terms as division vice commander, two as flotilla commander, and I've kind of recycled my way back through at the bottom back up. So technically I'm the flotilla vice commander right now, and which is kind of a chief of staff. Okay. We have a lot of staff officer jobs who have responsibilities for boating safety classes, for vessel exams, the vessel safety checks that I mentioned earlier, for aids to navigation, the buoys, for public affairs. I'm also a public affairs officer.
Oh, we got the right guy there.
Yes, you did. Yeah, hopefully. And a host of other things. The vice commander is kind of chief of staff, so all those staff officer jobs kind of work for him, mm-hmm. and he works for the commander. So that's kind of where we're at on that, and flotillas usually manage one or two boats, one or two lakes in this area, or a bay down at the coast somewhere. Several, usually 3, 4, or 5 flotillas make up a division, and a division, 4 or 5 divisions make up a district. And we're in the 5th Coast Guard District, which is Mason-Dixon Line north to New York, about the eastern half of Pennsylvania, almost all of Jersey and Delaware.
Big. So does the Coast Guard Auxiliary provide you with watercraft?
No, frankly. Okay. All of our boat facilities are privately owned, and at that point. Now they fund us, you know, with gas and maintenance and repairs. Okay. and safety equipment. While that privately owned boat is on the water with the signs on the side that say U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, it is at that point the property of the United States government. So if there's a problem, your problem's with the United States government, not with a private owner. So that's one of our challenges, is to get training when there's no standardization of what our boats look like. You know, it's almost anything. In fact, we're presently with starting a paddle craft program. Oh. Now, we don't begin to think that I can go out in a kayak and paddle out and save someone's life. We will get some training like that, but that's not the goal. The goal is a public outreach to show people the safest way to use a high-risk boat like a canoe or a kayak.
So have you ever had to go and help people out of one of these things?
No, but I've had training at such as it's referred to as a wet exit.
Okay.
And you know, many kayaks are fishing kayaks, and they are extremely stable at first. They're wide in terms of a kayak, and they're pretty stable. And yeah, you can see people carefully standing up on them and fishing. And when you think about it, they've got to be designed to let the guy lean over and land, you know, a nice fish.
I see.
But the world of kayaking is there's quite a variety. One of my kayaks is 14 foot long and 23 inches wide. The other one is 17 feet long and
20 inches
wide. Yeah.
Oh my.
And the other one's 17 feet and 22 inches. You know, now that's fast and fun, but very, very tippy. That's one that it's going to be a wet exit if I don't learn to roll a kayak. So, yeah, there's, you know, sit-on-tops, there's fishing kayaks, there's recreational kayaks, there's whitewater kayaks, there's ocean kayaks. So, you know, to just say kayak and think that one rule applies to all of it is just not good.
Our guest is Bill Turner, the Vice Commander of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla here, and he has just had a world of information. About boating itself, though, let's say I'm up on Lake, Raystown Lake, and by the way, I'm wealthy, so I've just bought one of those great big houses that looks over the lake on those hills up there, and I decided to get myself a boat, and I've gone out and bought myself a brand new Boston Whaler with a big hefty engine in it. Would it be recommended, if I'm a total landlubber, to go to you guys and learn how this thing runs and works before I jump in that boat and go sailing around Raystown Lake?
Absolutely. Yeah. It'd be beneficial. It'd be in your interest, but it is not required by law. Unless you were born after June 1st, 1982. So those young people, to drive anything over 25 horsepower, have to have a boating safety class. But
gotcha.
People our age don't have to. Kayakers, paddle craft, sailboat drivers in Pennsylvania are not required to have a boating safety class if they were born after the date's January 1st, 82. Sooner or later, those people were all going to be kind of phased out, and everyone will probably be having a boating safety class. And surprisingly, the guys who are spending the mega bucks on big expensive boats are not the high risk guys. And I suspect that's because
risk in the big expensive boat, isn't
it? Yeah, right. Yeah. They know this is gonna cost money if they mess up. And a lot of money. The people who seem to be the highest risk, where most of the accidents are in the smallest, least expensive boats. And that's why we're starting this paddlecraft thing for canoes and kayaks, where we can teach them. Because let's face it, you can run out the door and within a few miles of here have your choice of small plastic boats. And, you know, for just a couple $100s, you probably have that in your wallet right now. And you're on the water with no instruction. And right away, the assumption is, let's go down the stream you know, oh, the water's running fast. It'll be a faster ride. It'll be more fun. And therein is the danger.
See, I was always under the impression that there was a boat license like your driver's license. So, no is the answer.
No is the answer, unless you don't make that birthday cutoff.
Right. So if the ideal situation might be in the future is to go to your course, get certified, and then get your license.
Absolutely.
Just like you do with the state driver's license.
Absolutely. Now, yeah. I should, and again, you know, laws, I think we always tend to simplify them by making them, try to include them in one statement. Yeah, that's the cutoff date, except for if you wanted a nice, fast jet ski. Then it doesn't matter. Everyone needs a boating safety class in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no sense.
Yeah, for jet skis, PWC, personal watercraft. So... And they, again, they're high risk because they're fast, they're small. We kind of, not jokingly, but say, you know, there's the law of gross tonnage. Bigger always wins in a collision.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're in a kayak or a jet ski, you're the smallest guy out there. Coast Guard Auxiliary does in Delaware Bay and the rivers around New York, North East River and all of that, is they operate what they call clear channel. And when freighters, you know, the big ships are coming down or going up the river, they kind of like to get out in front of them and warn off, you know, the guy with the 25 horsepower, 14-foot boat who thinks he's okay to be fishing out there, you know. Those great big ships have very often need 2 miles to stop. So if they kind of come around the bend in the river and you're out there, they'll blow the horn.
That's it.
And
then just
and
get
then,
out of the way.
And then they've done all they can.
Yeah.
You're at great risk when you're mixing it up with large vessels like that.
We have just a few minutes left, and I want to ask you some contact information. How can someone get a hold of you at the Coast Guard Auxiliary? What's the best way to access you? Do you operate 52 weeks a year or just during the summertime? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. We are on the water weekends mid-May to mid-September. Then we're done.
Gotcha.
After that, we can teach boating safety classes. We try to get our boating safety classes all taught in the spring of the year. To get in touch with us, you just Google Coast Guard Auxiliary. You'll land on a website. There's what's called a flotilla finder section there, real quickly. And you know, type in your zip code, and it's going to find the closest 3 or 5 of them, I forget, to your area. So regardless of where you live, we can find you. We try to do a lot of public affairs events where we can shake hands and provide that information on a personal level. You know, we go to the Jaffa Sports Show in February. October 1st, we'll be up at Prince Galitzin for their Cider Fest. We'll have a table up there. And, you know, we try to do sign-ups. My phone number, I'm always handing out my business cards and that kind of thing. So, if you're in the area, contact me.
And if you'd like to learn more about where Bill is, as I tell everybody, just use the phone number on our website here at Bedford County Speaks, or just email me at Lloyd@BedfordCountySpeaks, and we always tell you how to get a hold of our guests. So that's an easy way to do that. Bill, you have been tremendous. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain this to us. It's certainly been an eye-opener to me. I really think it's a great thing you're doing.
It's one more opportunity for us to deliver the safe boating message. And, we always say, you know, our goal is to make sure that when you go out on the water, you come back with a smile on your face. That means nothing got broke, nobody got hurt, no fines were paid. You know, you're smiling. So if that happens every time, then we've done our job.
Well, on that note, I can't beat that one. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.